The 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
So welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. And while you're there, go ahead and scroll on down, click write a review, and let us know what you are thinking of the show. Appreciate all the reviews that we have had so far. Special shout out to GSP Hitting, Logan Weening, of course, our sponsor of Old Fort Baseball Company. People that are making this show fun to do and making it possible. So shout out to the Old Fort Baseball Company. So this week, we are highlighting a Little League team, an 11U Little League team from Georgetown that went pretty far down to the state tournaments for the state of Indiana. And we are... this was an opportunity. So I've been wanting to bring this guy on for a long time, and it just all makes sense. So this is the guy that I've talked about a lot, you know, on Jim Shevlin's show, Talking Sports. I've talked a little bit about him on this show, and we are lucky enough to have my high school baseball coach.
Let's go.
2009 Southside Archers. We got Matt Harmon in the building. Coach, what's going on? I'm always going to call you coach.
Hey, fair. I got it. Good to be here, man.
It's so awesome to have you. So, obviously, you know, I've told a little bit of the story about how we first met. So from your perspective, you know, talk about our relationship and how we even kind of linked paths back in 2000. I think it was 2010 or no, 2008. Yeah. Go ahead and go back to your first impression and getting me on the baseball team and all
so
that.
So actually fall of 2007.
That's right. Yeah.
Fall of 2007. My first teaching job, I'm fresh out of college. I'm substituting. I didn't have a teaching job yet. It's very early in the year, August, September. And I get a call to sub at Southside. My brother Mark was teaching there at the time. I sort of had an in, so they would call me to sub. And I go to the office. I was supposed to sub in a gym class that day. And the secretary there says, hey, I know we had you in for gym class today. Do you think you could do... biology class instead? I said, sure. Yeah, no problem. I'm here. I'm game for it. And she goes, do you think you can do it the rest of the year? And that was my offer. That was my interview. That was everything. That's how I got my job at Southside, was literally that was it. And so something happened to the guy before and he was out and I was in. And so that first group, that first class I was teaching that fall, you were in. So it was only a few days that I was working at Southside that I remember I met you, and somehow it came up. Baseball came up. You're like, oh, yeah, I like baseball. So that's how we connected.
Yeah, I think you had mentioned, at least from my perspective, you mentioned that you were the baseball coach, and I hadn't played yet. So I already went through my freshman and sophomore year of high school, and I didn't play. I was too cool to play, right? So I find out you're the baseball coach, and I'm like, oh, man, y'all terrible. Like, you know, I started poking a little fun, and you're like, okay, let's see how good you are. Tryouts are, I think you said next week or something like that, but I don't remember the exact time frame. But you're like, yeah, let's see how good you are. Come out to tryouts and let's see how good you are since you want to talk. And so I came out and, you know, you see me hit and you're like, okay, yeah, maybe you should stop being a little a-hole in my class and pay attention so you could be on the team. You know, we could use that bat. So yeah, that was, and it was all history from there. Obviously a lot of great memories. I talk about, you know, my time in high school and my time at Southside all the time. I'm very, you know, obviously, like, I wasn't the greatest ball player, but I feel like I held my own. How would you describe me as a player since I got my own coach in here? How would you describe me
as a
player?
No, that's a good way to put it. I think, you came a long way. You held your own. By the time you were a senior, you got to be a pretty good player. And I remember thinking, man, I wish you would have committed to doing that earlier, because I think as a junior and senior, you'd have been even better. But yeah, for having not played a lot until your sophomore year of high school, you really came a long way and got to, like you said, hold your own, got to be a pretty good player.
You're also the one I got to credit too. You were the one who had me hit left.
Yeah, that's right.
So I gotta credit you there. I hit right. I switch hit a little bit, like in Little League and stuff like that. But I think I remember telling you or something, like, I can hit a little bit left, and you're like, nah, let's stay right handed until you get that. And then you let me one day. I don't even think it was an actual practice. I think it was like just like open gym or something. And you let, I think we were doing soft toss, and I hit left handed, and you're like, yeah, I think you're gonna hit left, because you said it looked more natural. But yeah, so that. You know, I credit high school baseball coaches are so important. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have maintained our relationship throughout these years. You know, we've stayed connected. You know, we're still in baseball circles as well, so I'm sure that helps. But, you know, you definitely helped shape me as a man. Like, I know you remember I was rough around the edges when you first met me. I was trouble. So you helped change that a little bit. And you're still doing the same thing today. Yeah. So that's why it means so much to bring you in here today.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. Yeah, I don't know if you've mentioned this part. The class that you were in was repeat biology class.
Yes. So we very open about that.
I was teaching repeat biology. All sophomores who failed freshman biology. So, and yeah, we had a lot of conversations I remember early on about, like, man, if you want to play baseball, we got to get those grades going. Yep. And yeah, and then you really took off. So you were a perfect example of the kind of kid who baseball or sports in general, mm-hmm. I mean, it can be a literal lifesaver for them, right? So it gives mm-hmm. them something to focus on and something to hang their hat on, and provides a level of accountability for them to do what they're supposed to in the classroom and be a good citizen and be a good kid at school, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's why he was the best coach. I always will say that. So how did you even get into coaching? Like, I'm sure that wasn't your first coaching gig ever.
It pretty much was. I was right out of college. So I was a college baseball player.
Yeah.
I went to high school here at Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian. We had a lot of team success. Mm-hmm. We won state championship.
Yeah.
Our first in school history. We've had a lot of success since then. I went to Indiana Wesleyan, played small college baseball there. My heroes when I was in high school and in college were the local high school coaches here. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. Bill Jones, Bill Derbyshire, yeah. Jack Masucci, Gary Rogers. Those guys were heroes of mine. I worked Wildcat baseball in the summers, mm-hmm. so I got to know some of those guys. Going to camps and clinics, I got to know a couple of the other guys. And I just thought those guys were so cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I would love to do that someday. And so that was always kind of a flag planted for me of those guys. I wanted to be like them someday.
Yeah, you recommended me to the Bill Jones Fall League before, because I told you I had not played freshman or sophomore year, and you're like, I really want to get you to get some reps at least before the season starts, and you recommended me to the Bill Jones Fall League, and I wouldn't bat league, and it was, I remember it like it was yesterday, mm-hmm. Bill Jones coming up to every player, making sure he talked to each and every one of us, so definitely a baseball name that I mention a lot on here, definitely a legend. Mm-hmm. Gary Rogers, one of the first guests on this podcast, I got a chance to talk to him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, legendary name. So you get this job at Southside. So from your perspective, recap that, you know, tenure for you. How did that go for you at, you know, coaching Southside Archers?
Oh, it was such a cool experience. You know, I was fresh out of college. It was basically my first coaching gig, and it was so fun because it was so raw. We just had all these kids, a lot of kids who loved the game, a lot of kids who hadn't played, a lot of kids who had played but were still real raw. And so it just was a really fun opportunity to get your hands dirty. We had a lot of thirst for wanting to play there. Mm-hmm. I remember doing open gyms. We'd do them in the evening, and I'd get 40 kids to an open gym.
It was packed.
And like, eventually we had to move them to the morning because I literally couldn't safely do open gyms with as many kids that were coming. I'm like, I gotta thin this out somehow. So we moved them to before school, because then I knew it was just only the kids who were really going to take it seriously then.
Yep.
But it showed just how much kids wanted opportunities to be involved in something and to belong in something, mm-hmm. but then also just wanted opportunities to play and get better.
Which is huge for a struggling program. You know, at that mm-hmm. time, you know, when you took over, it was a program, you know, Sassanella left it, you know, and it was a struggling program. Like, let's just put it honest. Like, they were, and not struggling, like, necessarily on the win-loss column. That's a discussion for another day. But, like, just struggling to get players that want to play.
Yeah.
And so I think that was definitely something that stood out to me. Is like, I'm going to tryouts, and I'm like, I couldn't believe how many kids were, you know, wanting to play for Southside Baseball. And I think a lot of it was because of you and your coaching staff. I remember Coach Fuller. I forget the other coach's name. I ran into him at Wildcat.
Coach Kleinschmidt.
Kleinschmidt. Yeah. Yes, I ran into him not too long ago. He was coaching out of Wildcat over in New Haven. So mm-hmm. the coaching staff over there. So, and we had a lot of young players too that you got to coach that ended up, you know, doing big things. Evan Van Sumeren went to PFW. Will Corson Carr, obviously a big name that everyone knows around here. So what ended up happening for you to, I guess, no longer be the coach for the Southside Archers and kind of move on to something new?
Yeah, I loved it. I was all in there, and I would have loved to have stayed. What ended up happening was my teaching job ended up getting moved. There was a big thing that happened 2009, 2010, mm-hmm. where they shook up all Fort Wayne Community Schools. They made all the teachers move around at several of the schools, and I was caught up in that. And so I was getting moved to teach at Shawnee Middle School out north, and they told me I could keep my job at coaching at Southside. Mm-hmm. I also got married that summer, and it just was... I didn't think it was going to work. I'm like, I'm working on the north side of town. Yeah. I'm going to try to coach on the south side of town. I'm married now, starting a family, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, I don't see how this can work. And so that was the decision to move on. Especially I didn't think it would work because I was so all in. And, right. and you remember the way we did things. We were open gyms all the time, practice all the time. And I just loved doing it that way. And I didn't think I could do it justice. I didn't think I could do it the way we were doing it mm-hmm. without me being on site. The other thing that when you're in the building, it's so helpful at a place like Southside.
Right.
And I'm telling teachers, hey, if we have a problem with any of my players, team, I'm going pulling kids out of class. I'm going and talking to them, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see how I could do it well without being there.
That makes a lot of sense. Either all in or not.
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. So you go on. So you didn't even end up teaching at Shawnee, right? You ended up taking another job, I believe. Talk about that.
Yeah, I got a cool opportunity to go work at the World Baseball Academy out at the Ash Center. Caleb Kimmel offered me that.
Hey,
and my boy. Yeah, they do awesome things out there. And I was mm-hmm. kind of at the ground level there. They were kind of still just getting started. And we did an inner city program that we launched that turned into sort of a mentorship program. They're still working on, still doing some of that, doing cool things there. And then I also worked under Ken Jones, who's Bill's son,
yep.
and did a lot of group training and lessons and things like that, which is very different from coaching a team. So it was a mm-hmm. really, I'm still a pretty young coach, still a pretty young guy, but a really awesome opportunity to kind of learn the game from a different perspective and how to teach the game from a different perspective, because working with a kid individually in a lesson setting is so much different than coaching a team. And so that was a really great formative experience for a coach to get to do that.
Yeah, so obviously Ken Jones, 260 Baseball Club, definitely yes, more shout out to them too. I got to get them on. So many people, like I know it's fall and I know everybody's looking forward to football, but we're definitely riding this baseball wave for a while, probably for the next couple of months until things really slow down. But yeah, that's another one I got to get on. So you take this job at the World Baseball Academy. How did everything go there? And then what led you? So today, you're coaching Little League. So what transpired from the gig at World Baseball Academy to getting you to coach Little League?
Yeah, I did that for a few years full time mm-hmm. and then realized that it's a lot of evenings and weekends and that's hard. Yeah. And I was married. I had my first kid in that at some point.
Yep.
And I just thought, you know, like I really love doing this and this is a great place to work. But if I could get back into education, that would probably be better long term for like family life. And so mm-hmm. I had just had that thought and didn't explore anything, hadn't gone and searched out any opportunities when the principal at Blackhawk Christian, where I went to high school, called me on a whim and said, hey, we just had somebody leave. It was a little bit like my opportunity at Southside. We just had somebody leave. Mm-hmm. Would you ever have any interest in coming back? And I was like, well, actually, I just was kind of thinking that way. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't my plan to go back where I went to high school or go back to Blackhawk, mm-hmm. But it just kind of worked out that way. So I got that opportunity. I've been there ever since. So this is year 14 or 15 for me there. So that's a really special place, too.
So comparing the way the landscape of high school baseball, so you're another example where you can talk about your perspective for the level of high school baseball from 15, 20 years ago, and you can talk about it today. So how would you say the landscape has changed from then to now?
Oh, it's so much better. I mean, the quality of play around here is so much better. And I from three different perspectives, when I was a player in high school mm-hmm. 20 plus years ago to when I was a young coach to now, I mean, it's amazing how much more into baseball this community is, mm-hmm. how many more great players we're cranking out, how many more quality high school programs there are. It's remarkable. And it's fun. It's fun. I love baseball. I love Fort Wayne baseball. We do have a great history here. Mm-hmm. And I think we had kind of been in a little lull. And man, I'll tell you what, the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so, we're really cranking them out. It's been great.
Yeah, because I remember when I played in high school, there was only like a couple of players I remember playing against that were like studs. Mm-hmm. And one was Jared Parker, obviously. Mm-hmm. We ran into that buzzsaw. Mm-hmm. Patrick Vierkamp was a name I remember at Homestead that I bring up a lot. Kiermaier, mm-hmm. obviously at Lures. And then I remember, I'll never forget that first sectional game against Jay County in 2008, I think it was. That was rough. Josh Lutie. We ran into that Josh Lutie. He was going to like Baylor. Yep, he went to Baylor, right. Got drafted in like the eighth round.
I wouldn't have remembered him if you hadn't have brought him up.
Yeah, Josh Lutie from Jay County. He first pitch, I think you walked him after that. He hit that first pitch from Will, and it just soared over Huntington's college fence. And you're like, we're not pitching to him again. So yeah, I remember those days. But now it's like there's like every team has at least one guy that is solid, like mm-hmm. Division One, and if not Division One, close to, mm-hmm. In terms of ability. So yeah, I talk about it all the time. That's part of the reason I started this podcast, is because there's so much talent here that I want to highlight. And I've had a lot of the talented kids on here that are going Division One. Luke Rhea was the first high school kid I had on. He's going to Toledo, and he's going to be doing great things. Ankenbrook, he was supposed to go to PFW, and now he's going to Huntington. So, so much talent. So much talent around here.
What do those kids say about their experience locally here?
Oh, they love it. You know, it's really competitive is the word that they use a lot, is competitive. They want to beat each other. They got mm-hmm. the rivalries, you know, the schools. Like, I met Luke Rhea at Carroll and Carroll Homestead. Mm-hmm. He's like, you sure you want to meet at Carroll? I'm like, yeah, that's where I live. He's like, all right, I'll do it. But competitive is one of the main things that they use. But it's hard because
Southside people, by the way, would cringe at you saying you live near Carroll.
Oh, I'm sure.
By the way.
I'm sure.
Very territorial, the old South.
Very, folks, very. I went to a Carroll game or a Northrop game, mm-hmm. and I had my Southside hat on still.
Yeah.
And people are looking at me like, "What are you doing here?" Like with that Southside hat. So I get it. It's okay. I'll take those punches. But yeah, what makes it so different though is because, you know, back when we played, you know, at least when I played in like the late 2000s. Only a few people played travel ball. Mm-hmm. And if they played travel ball, they were going Division One or getting drafted. Where today, they all play travel mm-hmm. ball. And in some cases, they play together. Mm-hmm. You know, one kid will be at Snyder and they play with another kid at Homestead on the travel team. So it was surprising to hear that competitive is a strong word that those kids use. But it's a different day and age. Mm-hmm. You know, they're playing together in the summer and playing against each other in the spring. So it's just that would be what I would say is the big difference. Mm-hmm. But from your perspective, so coaching, what do you think the biggest things are? Obviously, you're teaching a little bit more mm-hmm. with 11-year-old kids compared to high school. But what are some things that you enjoy with one that is maybe a little bit tougher with the other group, since you coach both Little League and high school?
Yeah, they're more similar than you would imagine, actually. The younger kids are littler versions of high schoolers in a lot of ways, but especially the high schoolers are bigger versions of little kids, honestly. They don't change that much. We don't change that much. Adults are probably that way, too. But it's been so fun getting to coach young kids. I've been really fortunate to have so many different coaching experiences. So I've done mm-hmm. Wildcat, I've done travel ball, I've done high school, I've done mm-hmm. Now Little League and kind of house rec ball stuff and young kids and old kids and everywhere in between. The young kids, what's hardest about coaching Little League or like house ball, rec ball, is the time constraints. Mm-hmm. In high school, if I had you, in my mind, I would say, all right, DC, he's my project today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend an hour in the cage with him. I'm going to give the other guys some drill work to work on, let the assistants go take them, do something, and we're going to really work on something I want him to work on. And literally, I can't give them independent things to work on. They need hands-on attention mm-hmm. all the time. And so there are oftentimes where I'm thinking, man, I just wish I had couple hours to spend with this kid that you just, you know, you don't have by the time you're playing and practicing, and you gotta get all the other kids' rounds and all the other kids' attention too. It's so you're really limited there. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest difference. Is what I loved about coaching high school is not only the season, but the 4 years you have with them, and you can really invest in the long-term development. Whereas when you're coaching like I'm coaching now, a lot of ways you're making decisions of, let's try to tweak something, let's try to do something to get you to have some success tomorrow. And what I really want to do is break them down, and I just know I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah, I know. So for the first time in years, we ran into each other this past fall. I can't even tell you the last time it had been. So we've talked off and on since then, you know, text, like checking in on each other and things like that. But this is the first time I had seen you in several years. So we coach against each other for the first time ever in fall ball out at Wallen this past fall. From your perspective, recap that, you know, obviously, have you ever coached against a kid that you coached? Have you ever done that? Was that the first time?
I think that's the first time.
So what was going through your mind? You know, coaching against a former player that you coached, and you know, recap the fun game that we had.
I don't remember the specifics of the game. I remember running into you. I remember, you know, I had met your kids when they were real little.
Yeah.
And so the first thing it was just surprising. Like, wait, how old are his kids? What? Where are we? What's going on here? And yeah, Quincy was, you know, my kid's age essentially. And so that was, once I got over the surprise of that, it was just good to catch up. It was good to see you. You and I always had like a special connection.
Yeah.
Of anybody that I coached, I don't know what it was. We just clicked. I could tell that you needed baseball. I could tell that you needed not just baseball, but also just like somebody checking in on you. Mm-hmm. And so I was that guy. But then next level was we connected. Like I remember I would give you rides sometimes, and we'd talk about music, and we'd talk about other things going on in your life. And so, I mean, it was like seeing an old friend, man. It was just good to see you. And that's really the only thing that stands out is just how excited I was to see you, how fun it was to see you as a dad. And
a dad, you know, coach too. Like
I'm seeing you in repeat biology. You know, that's in my mind. And so to see you invested in your kids that way, and you know, as I've gotten to talk to you the last year and a half or so, I know how much you love your kids in general, but also especially your kids playing baseball. I can relate to so well. There was in our past life together, it was sort of a mentor-mentee thing, and now we're doing it together, and that's so cool.
Yeah, good old buddies now at this point. Yep. So, yeah, you're coaching your son, okay? You just had this magical run, which was the big reason we brought you in today. Talk about the run that you just had with Georgetown Little League. Talk about that.
That was super fun. You know, you get to coach so many different – I've gotten to coach so many different teams and different groups, and this one was so fun because I think the most fun group to coach is – the group that's a little undermanned, but comes together and plays great. And that's what this group was. I mean, they're good little players, but in our district tournament, we were playing teams that were more physically talented than us, especially the team we played twice and played in the championship. Bigger, stronger on the mound, they threw harder, all that stuff. In our championship game, we got down 3-0 after a kid hit a outside out of the park home run.
Wow. At 11.
At 11 very often. We don't have any kids who are even capable of doing it.
Wow.
And so that's the kind of thing that could easily demoralize a team. And we just like the type of team I had and coached up and really came together. They just weren't fazed by it at all. And we played great and won that game and got to go on our run. It was great.
Yeah, so talk about, you know, from your perspective. So I coached, that was the only time that I've coached Quincy was this past fall. I'm good. I don't need to do it anymore. It was fun, but I like to be dad. I just rather just chill out in the stands and just relax. So I commend any dads that agree to coach their son. So how is that for you? You know, we've talked a lot about that on this podcast, where obviously travel and rec ball are two different things. You know, we'll get that's a discussion for another day. But from your perspective, you know, for like a lot of people, when they approach, you know, they sign their kid up for something and they find out there's a dad coach, the first thing they're going to say, oh, okay, he's going to be pitching, he's going to be playing shortstop, we know the drill. But from your perspective, how would you kind of oppose that thought?
Well, I'm probably unique in the sense that I really was a coach first. I was a coach before I was a dad.
Yeah.
And so I've been coaching and doing all that, and I don't really think of being a dad while I'm coaching, honestly. As soon as I step away, I do. And I'm definitely emotionally invested. And I definitely can sympathize with those dads who just like, They're just so stressed when they're watching that kid bat, when they're watching that kid pitch. I get that way sometimes, but honestly, I've been a coach for so long. I really do feel like I'm a coach first. I'm really always kind of thinking about coach stuff and not so invested in my own kid. There are exceptions. There are times where that's not true, but for the most part,
of course,
that's true. But yeah, so I'm kind of the exception. But I will say, I am around and coaching with and coaching against all sorts of dad coaches who weren't high school coaches like me, and lots of them are great. Lots of them are really good and have figured out their niche in coaching their kids, but also groups of young kids and young players. Some of the best coaching I've witnessed is at the little league level. There's a lot of guys at higher levels, at high school and college, and we talked about so many high school coaches that we respect and admire around here, but there are some that are a lot of bluster. They yell a lot, they talk a lot, you can tell they like the sound of their own voice and some of that stuff too. And there are some coaches coaching 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds at little leagues and house leagues who are amazingly gifted teachers and coaches. And those guys are heroes. And like the game of baseball and our local Fort Wayne baseball desperately needs those people, because it's always going to be the dads. I mean, there every once in a while you get this really cool guy who just loves baseball and volunteers and coaches. But I mean, for the most part, it's the dads. And so those guys who are able to do that well, they're heroes, man.
That's right. Very well said. So definitely want to highlight Georgetown Little League one more time. As Little League, you know, the rec leagues are a little bit harder these days. You know, you got so many kids that miss sometimes. They miss practice. They might have to miss a game because they're playing a travel ball tournament or something. So from your perspective, kind of you're kind of the representative for Georgetown right now. How is the atmosphere out for Georgetown Little League? Obviously, it's working for you guys.
Georgetown's great. Couldn't recommend it more highly. Really well run, really well organized. It hits a really good sweet spot, I think, of developing kids, keeping things in perspective, but good competitive baseball too. I'm thinking that, you know, Snyder had a really good high school baseball program. Tons of those kids came through Georgetown. And some of the local private schools around that area too, Concordia and Blackhawk and some of those places. Dwanger's got a lot of Georgetown kids coming through there. I think that more kids had ought to be playing rec ball and house ball. I would never say universally all kids should or your kids should or whatever. But certainly I think the big picture shift of so many kids playing travel baseball so early at 9 years old, 10 years old, it's not necessary. And I think people feel like they have to do it to keep up with the Joneses. And they don't have to. We do have good rec league, house league baseball happening around here. And so, you know, if you found a great program, I know you're really excited about Quincy's next steps, and you should be. I know those guys. And, you know, if you have a great place to land in the travel world and you're excited about that and you want to go and you want to spend your weekends and do all that, great. But if you feel the pressure that you have to, you don't.
Yep.
You don't.
Yep.
It's okay to keep playing house ball, rec ball. That can be really good. Keep searching for opportunities for your kids to play, grow, get better. That's the big thing. Get better every year. At some point, if they're absolutely dominating their rec league, have a conversation. But man, if it's best for your family to stay local and play local, you can do that and have a lot of success. We have so many kids who are doing that. I think as you get into high school, travel probably, and you want to play beyond high school, then travel baseball becomes something that's necessary. But before then, it's cool. And if you've got an opportunity to do it that you're excited about, go for it. But you don't have to. I think some parents probably need let off the hook that way.
Oh, for sure.
So from my perspective as a high school coach and somebody who's done baseball around here for so long, yeah, take that pressure off yourself. It's okay. Just keep playing and getting better. That's the thing.
Yeah, heard it here, folks. Someone that's coaching the Little League and at the high school level. He's coached so much throughout these years. He knows what he's talking about. Very excited to bring you in today, Coach Harmon. You're always going to be coach. Sorry. That's how it's going to be.
I can live with that.
Thank you so much for coming in. I definitely look forward to seeing see any more around. You won't be seeing me coach. You won't. We won't coach against each other again.
It's hopefully. A one-time deal.
One-time deal. But definitely look forward to seeing you more around, watching the boy play. I know you played against one of my good friends at Elmhurst Little League. They played against you, and they said you killed them. That was their recap. You said you guys really put it on them. So all seriousness, you had a great run with the 11U Georgetown All-Star team. Very deep run. You should be very proud. Your boy is balling. I coached against him, so I seen him play. Good player. But keep doing what you're doing, and keep doing what you're doing at Blackhawk as well. And thank you for coming on. Thanks.
Proud of those kids. Georgetown 11U group was awesome. Really exciting. Proud of you
and
the man you've become.
Thank you.
So cool, man. Great opportunity. Appreciate you having me.
Perfect. Good stuff.